Throughout this Advent season, as we've explored these scriptures in, the lectionary year A, or is it B? It's B. Whichever one it is, right? And I'm always impressed at the compilers of these things and how they're able to take these themes and weave them together and show us from the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, the greatness of our God in these things. And I noticed something throughout this Advent that I really hadn't thought much about until just this morning as I was looking at these. And it's this idea of expectation. That one of, expecting something to come, right? We're in this Christmas season. We've developed this elaborate system of massive gifts and giving and that, and commercialized abundance all over the place. Okay, but that has a root in something, right? An expectation that something's coming, that we're going to get something really good. And throughout the Hebrew history, when they went into the time of exile, there was this idea of expectation. And so we looked at it, we saw this in the 2 Samuel, this promised house, this establishment of David. Now, David's desire in 2 Samuel was to honor God. He was in a palace. He thought, my goodness, God has blessed me. My enemies are put aside. Why? We should have something for God to dwell. And of course, Nathan comes back and tells him, hey, David, I don't need a house, all right? I've never needed a house. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus talked about oath-taking? He says, don't take an oath by the earth. I mean, the heavens are his throne, and the earth is his footstool, for goodness sakes. You don't need a house. But there is a promise here and an expectation being built, a house and a kingdom that will endure forever. Now, house, of course, we're referring not to a physical here. In this context, we're talking about a family, right? That David's family, his progeny, his generations past him, will rule on this throne forever. So we're setting up an expectation here. Now, there are two things to keep in mind then when you're setting something up like this. One, I imagine, and we know it's true, that in the generations that followed David, especially later on, there was a bit of frustration. You can imagine a Jewish family in Babylon, exiled, separated from things, reading 2 Samuel chapter 7, and going, wait a minute, where's this house? Where is it? Where is this kingdom? Because we've been outside of this for a long, long time, and I do not see it. Now, one can respond in a couple different ways here. One can get angry and shake their fist, and I'm sure there's a bit of that. Or one can, and as often was the case, hang on. To look through the rest of scriptures as they could read now through Genesis into Exodus and remember the stories, the parting of a sea, the crossing of a river into a land, the defeat of their enemies, walls tumbling down. All these things are pointing and reminding people to hang on. And that the words of these prophets are true. I think there's something in humanity that longs for something bigger than themselves, right? We like being part of something. And in all kinds of ways, right? That's why team sports are wonderful. You can have individual accomplishment, but you're part of something bigger. Political parties, you have your own little vote, but you can be part of something bigger. And people respond to those kinds of things. When you have a charismatic leader that can rally, often it's rallying behind something that's bigger than themselves. It's how revolutions begin. Be it the American Revolution of a desire to separate from a king and raise up a different kind of a government, to an industrial revolution where you can be part of something much bigger than simply just manufacturing some goods, but an overall sweeping change in the way a country does business or the world does things. We want to be part of something like that. The psalm reminds us again of that promise of a house, of a line that's going to carry through. And so we have a yearning. And that thread runs through, even through Advent into the promise of Jesus. But we have that same sort of longings now, don't we? I do. I every morning I flip my phone open and I'll sit and I'll have some coffee and I'll look through the news and think, oh, that's terrible. Bummer. You know, another shooting here, some deaths there, an earthquake there, an uprising there. And I think, wait a minute. Promise has been made. Where is it? Where? I don't see it sometimes. Where is this promised house? And so then we come again to that Advent tension. The already not yet. What are our expectations and can they be met? Well, they are met. And the gospel reading and the Hebrew reading show us that they are met, but unexpectedly, differently. That's what we see. We see first the connection with Mary. Look at in verse 33 of John chapter 1, we have Mary. And it says, did I say 33? Luke, I'm sorry, yes. Luke 33. And you start at verse 31, you will be with child and give birth to a son. You give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. There it is, right? There's 2 Samuel chapter 7, right there. That is the language they would hear. That's what Mary heard. Right? Oh, wait, I know that. I know that. And so, all of a sudden, this hope could start to well up inside of you to think, this could be it. The kingdom, the house, and all the expectations that are coming out with that, right? And then, as Jesus grew and then went on to his ministry, these same sorts of echoes were ringing out and people were getting excited to be part of something bigger. What we're really talking about here was revolution. That is the language here. Right? Because this kingdom was not established right now and they're calling for something bigger. Be part of something. A sweeping overthrow is what's going on here. And that person of that overthrow is going to be Jesus. Going to be this baby that Mary's giving birth to. Now, this birth, this expectation, as it comes to us, it gives us both less and more than we expected. Right? There's a less than we expected and a more than we expected. Now, the less became obvious very early in Jesus' ministry in that Jesus is not going to be the type of ruling leader king that they were hoping for, right? They were expecting a world leader. They're expecting someone to come in and kick out the Romans, to sit upon his throne, establish righteousness, establish Israel in a place of prominence in the whole world, and show the world who this God really is. And that really didn't happen, did it? Not in that way. So it was disappointing in some ways. We have this language of revolution, language of establishment of a kingdom, and the guy died. But it turns out, in a way that God just does things all the time, much, much, much more than we ever even could have expected. Right? This is a vision of the nations. That's what the Hebrew readings gave us, right? The nations, or Romans, I'm sorry. That's last week. See, again, last night. I'm already... Romans, right? A blessing to the nations. This is much bigger than a tribal nation that came together and established a small plot of land in the Middle East. This is global. This is cosmic in nature. That is the call to revolution. This is amazing. And it's mysterious. But the seeds are always there. They're always there. 2 Samuel through Isaiah, all these places. They gave us the expectation this is going to be different. This is more than you. This is bigger than yourselves. This is something we can get excited about. This is something we can want to be part of. For all nations, this is a radical revolution. And so in some ways, you know, it's interesting to me. I was thinking about this week. You know, when we think about Mary, or actually I was just reading some devotionals this last week, and they were looking at the women who were included in the genealogies of Jesus, right? So you had Tamar, Rahab, you know, others, you know. Now, and he made a point that I hadn't thought about this before. So in our culture, you may have not noticed, but it's kind of sexually obsessed, right? It is, you know. So, and even in our things, it kind of creeps into some of these things. So when we think about Tamar, we think about, oh, she was a prostitute, right? Or Rahab, obviously, you know, prostitute. Then we got Mary, oh, virgin pure as the driven snow kind of thing, right? But in these things, that's really was not the point. I mean, it was there, but Tamar, what she represented was the unfaithfulness and how God will make things right. And Rahab was a Gentile. I mean, yeah, a prostitute, okay, whatever. You know, I mean, she's a Gentile being included and understanding faith more than some of the other people were. And Mary, yes, Virgin Mary, holy, whatever. That's, you know, all that. Say whatever, but understand. But here's the thing about Mary, because in verse, what was it here? Verse 38, she says a radical thing. Okay, she hears these words, echoes out of Samuel, 2 Samuel 7. And what does she say? I am the Lord's servant. Think of it, she said that in light of this radical, revolutionary idea that something drastic is going to happen. And she said, I will be part of that. She was the first revolutionary foot soldier in the kingdom of God. That's amazing. She was brave. She was strong. Think about it. Just the courage it took to believe that, and then to want to be part of it. That is the message of Christmas. It is a call to be part of something that's way bigger than you. Now, in her response, we saw her courage. Do not be afraid. We saw her belief. Nothing is impossible. And we see her enlisting. I'm signing up. I'm here. I will do this. Now, I hope as we've gone through this that we're seeing the connections here, right? That in this Christmas season, and okay, and we're about to slingshot into it here, right? We're traveling, cooking, and wrapping presents and opening presents and children going crazy and all the things that go with that. The ups and the downs. I want to ask you today. One, what is your expectation? I mean, we're here, right? I mean, this is a church, okay? So there's no surprises here, right? We're here for a reason. Are you signed up? Are you enlisted? in a radical revolution that's completely upside down and different, right? That's the beauty of it. There was the expected part that didn't happen, but the way different part that wasn't expected was the kingdom of God has come, but not the way you think. It's not through violence, it's through peace and forgiveness and self-sacrifice. That was the path that Jesus gave to us. If we want radical change, if we look at the suffering out there, if we are frustrated with the things in this world, and the wrongness, and the injustice, and the pain, the suffering, and the diseases, the cancers, if that is your thinking and frustration in it, Jesus says, come and follow me, and I'll make it right. Join me. Join me in this quest. Join me in this great adventure, right? Those kind of things grip us. Maybe that's why the Lord of the Rings is so popular, right? Because you're part of something much bigger than you. It's a wonderful story. These sorts of things grip us for this very reason. Because God is calling us to that very thing. And I pray that you would have that today. That you would, in your Christmas time, think, Lord, I am signed on. Yes. I might sign on to your way. Again, don't be disappointed, right? Don't be disappointed when things aren't the way you think. Because it's not always the way you think. The kingdom of God is us. That's why the connection to last night, right? I mean, we are the kingdom of God here on earth. God has chosen, for whatever reason, it's crazy sometimes in my mind, to use us, his people, to follow that path of the cross, to show people this better way, and say, no, it's not about power, it's not about influence, it's not about money or toppling governments or whatever. It's none of that. It's a step-by-step walk to a cross. And Jesus called us for that same thing. In that, though, in that path, everything changes. Everything. And God's will be done on earth as is in heaven. That makes for a very, very merry Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again just for the remembrance of this season of the daunting, unbelievable, in ways, radical coming of a king. Came humbly, lowly, to show us the better way. Not of power or influence, but of love, of self-sacrifice, of giving, of humility, of care for the outsider, and of the radical forgiveness that you offer each of us. That you call us to follow you. You made it so that we can. You've made it, that path when you died on the cross, you made it so that we could be your family. And be believed and received, and we are called children of God. So Lord, we thank you. I pray that in this season we would remember. I pray, Lord, that we would model this for those around us, and that people be drawn to you. In all these things we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. So thankful you're here.